This is iUniverse Radio. iUniverse Radio is brought to you by iUniverse, the leading book marketing, editorial services, and supported self-publishing company. iUniverse Radio is produced by TogiNet Radio, on the web at toginet.com.
The title of the book, Seventh Journey, Book One. And the author is Robert J.R. Graham, and Robert joins us now on iUniverse Radio. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is a credible, credible thriller here, of credible imagination you have to put together such a, it seems to fit right into today's modern technology and all the possibilities. You say this... NetX, an advanced research firm with more than one secret agenda, has developed a mind-altering headset technology, which now poses a threat to all of humanity. The headset uses a mysterious sound wave called auditum that can control the brain and even hurls users into a different dimension. And of course, we have the hero, the staff scientist Jacob Cross, and he was heavily involved in developing the new headset, and now he is in the middle of a double world of conflict,
Yeah, definitely there's a conflict there, and he's kind of been wrapped up in this this adventure that he didn't really expect to have happen. When he kind of started working with NetX and the auditum technology, he was kind of brought in under the auspices that it was really there to kind of help people and heal people and, you know, use kind of meditative states and different states of the brain to kind of, you know, induce healing. But later, as he found out that, you know, through some involvement with his friends and so forth, as the plot progresses, it was actually designed for much more than that and potentially to enslave humanity. So that's something that goes against his moral character. So he basically tried to take that technology and figure it out on his own before someone else got the better of him.
So how did you come up with this great storyline?
Well, it comes from actually years of doing a lot of different readings and research into, you know, stories that I found helpful throughout the years. You know, things that are either touching on different dimensions or, you know, touching on, you know, different philosophies and things of that nature. And when I decided to actually sit down and write something, a lot of that came as fuel, I guess you could say, for the creativity. A lot of great authors that I've, you know, kind of worked with, or at least I've kind of used their kind of methodologies and so forth as inspiration for my own. So, and a lot of personal experiences as well have kind of, you know, help to bring together the seventh journey.
So this new technology can literally send a person through a dimensional portal.
It does, yeah. So it doesn't happen, you know, kind of right away. I mean, you'll see it in the book. It does happen kind of early on in the first few chapters, but there's actually other things that start happening to the users of this technology. And I kind of get into that a lot more as the series progresses. But in the first book, you definitely kind of start seeing what happens to the main character and, you know, what this technology starts doing to him. One of the main things that you start seeing is that he's able to see these multiple dots, or, like, you know, what I would explain as little dots, microscopic dots everywhere. And that's right away one of the first side effects that he starts experiencing. There's a lot of other kind of metaphysical side effects in your standard kind of telepathy and things like that. As his brain starts to change, a lot of these experiences start happening to him, and finally he's actually hurled into a different dimension after using the technology, and then that's where you start getting the double storyline.
And his company, NetX, he finds out that there's a whole lot more going on with the CEO than obviously what appears on the surface.
Yeah, definitely. The antagonists I've kind of used in the story are, I think, probably one of the more interesting aspects of the story, with the CEO, Edward Aden, and his kind of involvement in how he's been, you know, utilized to bring audit into the world and also the kind of the mysterious force that's been guiding him, whether he realizes it or not, kind of throughout the story, and kind of things where things end up. But it's, you know, just as, you know, the character, the main character, has to go through multiple dimensions, I've tried to make many of the characters multidimensional as well.
So this unknown, well, if this force be behind the CEO at NetX, what is his name again?
So the character's name is Lucige.
Lucige, okay. He's the adversary from the other dimension.
That's correct, yeah.
And so his goal, what is his goal, ultimate goal?
Well, that's kind of revealed throughout the story, but I kind of bring it about in an interesting sort of way. There's also a subgroup in the Seventh Journey called the Arabian. And this is a fictional group that I've kind of based off of a Sufi, which is a religious kind of sect, a Sufi group. And they're kind of the holders of these prophecies. And, you know, these prophecies that they're holding are basically, you know, an epic battle between, you know, good and evil. And the evil aspect that embodies in the story is this Lucige character. And the main character, Jacob, as he's able to actually go into these different dimensions, once he goes into the other dimension and meets the guide in the story that kind of helps him along the way, and her name is Tamara, she introduces him to Lucige and kind of what his role is and how he's been kind of working towards, or how Lucige has been actually taking over her dimension. And now that the portal has been opened through Jacob's world, he's actually going to try to get in there as well.
And he's got a lot of training. He's going to need a lot of training.
Jacob would, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of subplot there in terms of personal growth. So the main character, you know, he might start off, you know, rather kind of insecure or, you know, not really sure about what's going on. And there's a lot of confusion with him. And, that, you know, you might get that as you're reading the story because, you know, he's not sure if this is actually real or not himself. But as things progress, he starts to become more self-assured and secure. And, you know, you start seeing his personal growth throughout the story. And, you know, it's that personal growth that's actually really key for him to be able to take on this adversary.
And this love story, is that a dominant theme?
Yeah, it definitely is. I would say the theme is there throughout. There's a bit of a love triangle that happens in the story as well, as, you know, Jacob doesn't start off single in the book. He does have a, you know, an existing love interest. But much like other aspects in his, you know, we'll call it physical world or real world life, a lot of those aspects start to break down as he progresses further into the other dimensions. So, you know, his main relationship starts to crumble and you start to see, you know, what's going on with that and why. You know, and similarly with his other friends as well, they're kind of connected to his real world life. Those things start to break down. And as he picks up and starts to believe more in this other dimension. And so that love theme does kind of, you know, continue throughout and will continue into the next couple books in the series as well.
And kind of a side note, Tamara, would she be considered the heroine of the story?
Definitely. You know, it's interesting how I've done it because, you know, as the main character's kind of insecure, Tamara is really the character that embodies most of the aspects that he would need to have in order to take on this adversary. So she is really confident. You know, she is really wise. You know, she does really understand what's happening between these different dimensions and what needs to be done. And it's really him trying to work his way into alignment with, you know, her state of being and where she's at with her confidence levels. And, you know, as he progresses towards that, you start to see the hero rise in the story.
And you created Tamara months before you met your wife, and her name is?
Her name is Tamara, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting how these coincidences kind of happen, right?
Well, or, you know, maybe it's just one of those multidimensional things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you certainly have an interesting background. As you say, a curiosity about, you know, little things like quantum physics, Eastern mysticism, Western psychology, ancient philosophies, martial arts. I guess all of that all rolled together. Presto, we have Seventh Journey.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it might have been a bit of an ambitious book to put all that in there, but I don't think it's really prominent. I think there's hints of those aspects in it as the main story is told. You know, Seventh Journey was really, you know, the real primary focus I wanted to kind of put into that book was, or this series, was really the multidimensional aspect of it. And all of those other things that I've kind of been exposed to throughout my own life, you know, aid to kind of tell the story and to explain why these things are, you know, potentially possible. But yeah, I mean, my youth was probably a little bit more serious than others. But, you know, everyone has their aptitudes, and, you know, some people really got into, you know, sports or different things. And, you know, I really got into computers really early, and I got into researching things on the internet really early. And, yeah, it's just kind of where I've ended up. But it's certainly helped me to craft stories and so forth with some depth.
And this is going to become really more of a saga, because how many more books do you envision?
Well, at least I at least have the next two already, you know, written out in terms of structure, in terms of high-level points of what's going to occur. But I'd like to take the series as far as seven books if I can.
Well, the people in this other dimension, as you put it, have amazing powers like telepathy, flight, and light-speed travel. They can create anything with their thoughts, and that's just the beginning.
That's right. Yeah, that's, you know, I really want to take the other dimension and change what I would call the physics in it. You know, having been a researcher of quantum physics and material sciences, you know, a lot of the things that we seem to be really interested in, you know, these days around superheroes and so forth are people that seem to not be bound by the physics of our universe, right? You know, incredible strength, all these kinds of things. Well, I really wanted to kind of take that to an extreme in the Seventh Journey and really have people with this kind of energy bending ability that I've kind of created, which is essentially utilizing your thoughts and, you know, creating objects or energy weapons out of nothing, just the power of your thoughts. And, you know, I'm really kind of taking that and trying to evolve that as the series progresses. But, yeah, I definitely think that's one of the unique elements.
This character, his counterpart, Lukeman?
Lukeman, yeah.
And that's in this dream world that he...
It is,
this
yeah.
other dimension. And does he realize who he is in the other dimension, or is there some kind of a connection with understanding that he goes back and forth?
Well, the thing is with the character, and what I tried to portray was, you know, that it's kind of like you're arriving to the party late and everyone's been expecting you and you're not really sure why. So, you know, he kind of comes off as this character. Well, you know, I'm just an everyday average Joe, and I created this headset and I worked for this company, and all of a sudden I'm wrapped up into something a lot bigger than he is. And that's kind of how I've, you know, enabled him to be this other Lukeman character, which is, you know, essentially everyone on the other dimension has been waiting for his arrival. You know, he's not even sure if any of this is real at all, or if this is just some figment of his imagination. But as he arrives in the other dimension, people are heralding his arrival, you know, and are you know, very hopeful that he's now arrived because, you know, he happens to be the one that they believe can help them. So, you know, he's not really sure if he is Lukeman or if any of that is real, but, you know, at some point he has to make a decision as to, you know, whether or not he wants to progress down that path or not.
And this is his journey towards mastery.
It is, yeah. That's kind of the hero's journey or the, you know, one of the main kind of plots points is, you know, he comes from, you know, being a fairly, you know, as I say, an average guy. He has a, you know, a job in the science research field. But you know, he's a standard kind of guy who's been, you know, educated and has a job. And, you know, he doesn't really necessarily think that there needs to be anything more than that. But as he comes to understand, there is a lot more than that. And he does have to, you know, really kind of evolve or grow to the highest the highest aspect or the highest version of himself that he could possibly be in order to take on this adversary. And that's kind of where this personal mastery kind of idea comes in.
You have used, as you put it, a mixture of truth and fantasy, but you've also got this side to it, these anecdotes that are scattered throughout, which depict a more spiritual side of the Arabic culture.
Yeah, this is true. I think throughout history, there's always been, let's say the villain, or there's always been the culture that we've been looking at in slightly a negative light. And I know, of course, since political reasonings over the last 10 or 15 years, we happen to be looking at perhaps the Arabic culture in that negative light for whatever reason, and obvious reasons are there for that. But I, just like in every culture, I know that there are positives and negatives, and I want to kind of research, what are the more kind of spiritual, or what are the more positive aspects of these cultures that are, that are of a similar thread to all other cultures. And that's kind of what I want to focus on. So I did take a fictitious group and created them in my story and used them as the harbinger or the messenger of certain pieces of information throughout, holders of prophecies and also aiding and training at certain points. But there is definitely a lot of research there in terms of those cultures.
It's an epic adventure. The title is Seventh Journey, Book One, and the author is Robert J.R. Graham. Robert, tell us how to get your book.
Well, the book right now is available on your major retailer websites and in stores as well. So there's Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can also get it at chapters.ca for the Canadians. Also, you can just grab it from my website, which is www.robertjrgraham.com. And over there, there's links to all the availability locations.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, for being with us on iUniverse Radio.
Oh, thanks very much. It was a real pleasure.